Lord willing, for our invitation, I'd like to have the church family come up to the altar and we'll have prayer. Just thanking God for 2015 and then asking God to consecrate us in 2016. We're a day closer to the return of the Lord, folks. Amen. And boy, any moment. And I thank God for that. So if you would, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, let's read the first 8 verses. We'll read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 8? I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I finished the course. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Father, please bless Your word to our hearts now. As we close out this year, thank You so much for this precious church family. Thank You for our guests and those that have been coming. I pray they'd feel welcome and, Lord, perhaps even become part of this family in the coming year. I pray that You would work Your will through us. God, use us. Help us to consider this sobering thought tonight of the end of the road. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. I remember as a youngster when I was in love with baseball as a young boy, I remember hearing about different players from different eras, and one of the most interesting ones was a fellow named Stan Musial. First of all, I liked him because his name was Stanislaus. And we all know that's a Pollock special. Hallelujah. Amen. Stan Musial holds one of the most unusual records in all of baseball. Stan Musial had 3,630 hits, 1,815 on the road, and 1,815 at home. Very interesting. Didn't care where he was. He retired in 1963 and held all these records. When I was a young kid, one of my favorite players, again, playing the Pollock card, was a fellow named Carl Yastrzemski. We were from New England, and the legend of Carl Yastrzemski. I'll never forget, in 1983, they had Yaz Day. And Carl Yastrzemski ran around Fenway Park. He's one of the first ones to do a victory lap. And he ran around, and he shook hands, and he let the folks just say goodbye. Later on, I became a fan of basketball, and there was a fellow named Julius Erving that was from our area in Massachusetts. Played with the Sixers, and he retired, went through a retirement. I think of recently sports figures like Derek Jeter that have gone. And there's always some thoughts about, you know, who is this person, and who are they? They're retiring. They're coming to the end of the road. They're coming to the end of the line. You know, the older we get, the more thoughtful we get of the end. Every time I preach a funeral, I give the gospel and I give an invitation. Why? Because everybody at that funeral knows that their friend's life has ended. Somebody they love has ended. We come to the end of the road. I think of Bible characters that remind us of the end of the road. You know, I don't know about you, I want my children to think well of my Christianity. I really do. It's my goal is, of course, to please the Lord. And if I believe if you'll please the Lord, that those kind of things will take place. But I think about Bible characters who their end is listed for us. One of the first ones is the firstborn son of Jacob named Reuben. You know what it says of him in Genesis chapter 49, verses 3 and 4? You know what his ending was, Pastor Donald? His father said, "You're unstable. Unstable as water." Well, I'll tell you what, I think of my faults and my failings, Brother Jim, and things I struggle with and my besetting sins. You say, "Pastor, what's your besetting sin?" I'll tell you if you tell me yours. No, we're not supposed to do that. We'll take them to the Lord. Amen. But I think about my shortcomings and things like that. Boy, I sure hope at the end of my life that my kids would say, "You know, Dad was just so unstable. So unstable." Reuben is unstable. I think about somebody like Esau, where it says in Hebrews chapter 12 that he was profane. Why? Because he was unspiritual. He traded his birthright for a bowl of beans in Genesis chapter 25. And Esau is a perfect picture of somebody trading fleshly things for eternal things. Unstable. One way to end. Unspiritual. How about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived? You know what Solomon's end was? Unwise. What happened? He married many wives and they turned his heart from God. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11, I believe it's about verse 7, that God was angry with him because he had appeared to him twice and told him not to do that. Unwise. But then when I think of a couple, I think of those unnamed others in the end of Hebrews chapter 11. And you know what they were? They weren't unstable and they weren't unspiritual and they weren't unwise. Brother Brown, they were unfit for this world. The Bible says of them that were sawn asunder and torn of beasts and who wouldn't accept deliverance. You know what it says? It says of whom the world was not worthy. I appreciated Brother Messer's answer on a question about soul winning. I believe what he was trying to say was, I know so many great soul winners, I don't consider myself to be one. I've been around so many great Christians. I've been around some great Christians in this room that I don't feel worthy to be around. They were unfit for this world. But you know, really, the Apostle Paul, you know what he was in the uns, not unstable or unspiritual or unwise, perhaps unfit, but you know what he was? He was undeterred. He was undeterred. In the context we read on Sunday morning in chapter 9 of Acts, you remember what happened. He was on the road to Damascus. And he had letters in his hand to hail Christians into prison, even to death. And you know what happened? He met Jesus. I love that song. It's in our hymnal, "Since Jesus Passed By." Since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference! Since Jesus passed by. You know what happened? Jesus passed by, he got on his face, and then he got on a different road. Boy, Brother Jim, you're talking about your testimony. Well, I was thinking about mine today. I was thinking about what I would have been doing 23 and 24 years ago on a New Year's Eve night. I can tell you this, I wouldn't have been in church. I can guarantee you that. But hallelujah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul was undeterred. He got on the road, the Jesus way, and he never left it. Never left it. I think about something Brother Messer said on Sunday when Paul could, of a pure heart and conscience, say, "I am free. I'm pure from the blood of all men." What a statement. What a statement. It means everybody that Paul came in contact with, he witnessed to in some way, shape, or form. Wow. He was undeterred. Paul comes to the end of the road. And Paul is literally, 2 Timothy is Paul's end of the road. That's why I believe the Holy Spirit has filled it with wisdom. It's one of the richest books of the Bible. It's a pastoral letter of an aged pastor who is about to lose his head to Rome's axe, to a young pastor. And he comes to the end of the road. And what does Paul think of the end of the road? Well, I want you to notice six things tonight, quickly. I want you to notice the close in verse number 6. And that's not clothes like you wear. It's clothes like the close of a door. The close. It says there in verse 6, "For I am now ready." I'm ready. Could you say that tonight? If God were to say, "Your life is done tonight at 9 o'clock," could you say, "I'm ready"? Oh, I'm not talking about salvation necessarily, though. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen. First and foremost. But I'm talking about not just being saved, but serving God in a capacity where you're reaching people and reaching out to people. And you could say, you know what, if God calls me, I'm ready. I'm serving Him. The Apostle Paul here in the close says, "I'm ready. I'm ready." But then I want you to notice, secondly, not only the close, he was ready, but I want you to notice the calm. He was peaceful. It says there in verse number, look at it with me, verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered." I'm now ready to be offered. Hold your place there in 2 Timothy and go back to Philippians with me. Probably just 10 pages back in your Bible. And look at Philippians chapter number 2. The close, he was ready. The calm, he was peaceful. Here he was in prison. He could have tried to escape. He could have tried to run. He could have tried to make a stake and had an insurrection. And he certainly had enough followers to make it happen. But he was peaceful. He said there in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17, he says, "Yea, and if I be" what? "Offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Paul was the one who said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." Paul had said, "I'm ready to be, I would gladly be offered for you." And you know what? Now he has to be. And he's peaceful about it. If you have not read Fox's Book of Martyrs, can I highly recommend that book to you? Fox's Book of Martyrs. I know we live in an age where there's such a faction and a divide. And listen, I hope you folks know I'm no pacifist. I support all kinds of things that we all support. Amen. But there comes a point where those martyrs, they could have rebelled against Rome. They had to choose between rebelling against Rome or rebelling against their Savior. And you know what they said? "I'm going to glorify God." In such peace, they gave up their lives so that we could have the faith that we have today. And the Apostle Paul here, he was ready at the close, but he was peaceful, the calm. He said, "I'm ready to be offered. I said I would be offered. I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered." Thirdly, boy, this one really hit home. Look at verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, you know, I've had my time. I've served the Lord. Amen. But I love this. And he says, "I have fought a good fight." I have fought a good fight. The close, the calm, the contending. He was ready. He was peaceful. And you know what I find here? He was involved. He was involved. He said, "I fought a good fight." I got in a lot of fights when I was a kid. I'm glad my mom's not in here. Amen. She'd be saying amen and probably swinging from the chandeliers right about now. Amen. I got in a lot of fights. Can I say this? I've gotten in some spiritual fights since I got saved. I hope you'd want a pastor that wouldn't back down from a spiritual fight. Oh, I don't want to go picking them. But listen, one of the first fights I had, I was in Bible college. You know who it was with? Westboro Baptist Church. You know what I said? I told them, I said, you guys are a bunch of heretics. I said, your doctrine is as repulsive as your spirit. And it is. It is. It's the perfect example, those of you that know your Bible, it's the perfect example of where hyper-Calvinism takes you. Yep. Hyper-Calvinism takes you that God hates people. Yep. And it's not true. Amen. God loves people, amen. Brother Vic, God loves people. But you know what? Paul was involved. He said, I fought a good fight. He didn't say, I watched Brother Jim fight a good fight. He said, I fought a good fight. Are you involved? Are you involved? Thank God if you tithe, you're involved. Thank God if you give the missions, you're involved. But what else? Are you actively helping somebody along? I appreciate it. I had a dear saint when I mentioned our folks from Hillsdale. Said, you know, and I was joking, but not. Said, you know, they'll need somebody to invite them over. Somebody came to me right after service and said, hey, I already talked to them and they're coming over as soon as all these potlucks are done. I like it. I like it. Are you involved? Paul was involved here. There was the contending. He was involved. The calm. He was peaceful. The close. He was ready. Number 4, verse 7. He says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Fourthly, the completion. He was done. He was done. That's one that's hard for those of us that are not done just yet. But I think about pastors who the Holy Spirit makes it plain to them that they're to move on. Hard. People don't understand. People, because they love their pastor, amen? But the Apostle Paul here said he had come to completion. He was done. He said, I have finished my course. Don't worry about anybody else's course. You just keep on your course. God wants you to complete your course. You say, but what about, I think about that when Jesus talked about in John chapter 21, and he was talking to John, and Peter overheard him and said, he said, well, how come John gets to do this? Remember that? And the Lord said to Peter, he said, if he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You just follow Jesus this year. You just read your Bible. You just grab tracts every week and pass them out and try to witness to people. You finish your course. And you finish it with joy. Finish it with joy. The completion, he was done. Number 5. Look at verse number 7, the back half there. He says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The close, he was ready. The calm, he was peaceful. The contending, he was involved. The completion, he was done. The care, he was faithful. You can be faithful in 2016. Some of you are so faithful. I didn't get to give my testimony, but I thank God for so many of you. I thank God for you sweet moms that have young children. It is not easy to come to church with 3 kids on your hip. Come on, church, help me, amen. Help these young moms, amen. I'm telling you, I thank God for you. I thank God for Brother Dave Wright with your bad back being here whenever you can be. Thank God for you, brother. I thank God for Mrs. Sammons back there who reads your Bible through twice every year. Twice every year. You didn't know you were allowed to read your Bible through twice in a year. You are. Miss Sammons posts a verse every day from her reading. Every day. It encourages me. Encourages me. Lee Robertson said, a man may not be much, but he can be faithful. Thank God. Hey, ma'am, would you tolerate a husband that was 99% faithful? I would hope not. No, when we said I do, we meant it. Hey, when we said I do to Jesus, is He worth less? We can be faithful. We can be faithful. When things creep in and disrupt our faithfulness, you know what we need to do? We need to deal with those things. Deal with those weights. The care that He had, He could say, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. You know, I hope that my pastor is proud of me. And I use that term pride. I think you know what I mean. Not the Bible negative pride, but the pleased. I hope my pastor's pleased with me. I hope Dr. Malone can look down from heaven and say, you know what, that's one of my boys down there. But most of all, I would love to hear from Jesus when I get there. Thanks for keeping the faith. Thanks for keeping the faith. And that's not just for pastors. It's for all of us. Thanks for believing my word. Because that's what Paul did. He believed the word of God. Let me give you the last one and we'll close. We have the close, he was ready. The calm, he was peaceful. The contending, he was involved. The completion, he was done. The care, he was faithful. In verse 8, we have the crown. He was to be rewarded, and he knew it. He knew he would be rewarded. It says there, henceforth, why? Because I fought a good fight, because I finished my course, because I kept the faith, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. This is one of the five crowns that's listed in the Scripture. There's the incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9:24, the crown of rejoicing, that's a soul winner's crown, Philippians 4:1 and 1 Thessalonians 2:19. There's the crown of life, James 1:12, for those that endure temptations. There's a crown of glory or the shepherd's crown in 1 Peter 5:4. And then there's this one here, the crown of righteousness for those who look forward to His appearing. I guess that's probably the question as we close out 2015, as we close the books on this year. You know, we've been keeping track each year. I haven't said much about it in these last 3 months. And I appreciate those of you that still fill in the little spot on the sermon notes sheet for how many gospel tracts we passed out and how many chapters of the Bible we read. About to close the books on 2015. And I guess the question is, would we get the crown of righteousness? Are we looking forward to His coming? You know, if we're living in disobedience and struggling with repetitive sins, probably not looking forward to His coming. 1 John 3, I believe it's verse 2 and 3 says, we'll be ashamed before Him at His coming. Well, I want to be ready for Him to come. You know, that's an easy crown to win. It's the easiest of all the crowns. Looking forward to His coming. You know what that means? You've got to keep short accounts with God. You've got to deal with sin in your own life. Amen. If you're not dealing with sin, you'll not look forward to Him coming. The story is told about a pastor who volunteered with some Special Olympics type folks. If you've never been around folks like that on a consistent basis, they will bless and encourage you like no other. And there was a dear little girl, she was only about 4 years old, and she just couldn't walk. All she could really do was kind of waddle a little bit. And they had a race, and of course all the kids were in their own way, just getting ready to run their race and take off. And that pastor stood right in front of this little girl, so she couldn't see anything. She could only see him. And they said, ready, set, go! And he just went like this, and she just kind of wobbled towards him. He just kept going like this, and she just kept wobbling towards him. She just kept going like this, she just kept wobbling towards him, and finally they got to the finish, and he said, "You won!" She said, "I won." Said, "You won!" He said to him, "What did I do?" You know, one day God's going to say to us, "You won. You won." And you know what we're going to say? "What did I do? What did I do? You're the one that did it all. You're the one that did it all." The end of the road. Let's be found faithful. Let's be found ready. Let's be found peaceful. Huh? Let's be found involved. Blessed is that servant who, when his Lord cometh, he shall so find doing, it says. Let's be ready. Let's be, when we come to the end of our road, and who knows when the end of our road is. I'm getting ready to turn 44, Lord willing, here in a couple weeks. I remember a pastor friend we had in Bible college named Alan Blount who dropped dead at 44. We don't know. We don't know. So let's be ready when the end of the road comes. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us and your blessings. Thank you for second chances, Lord. As I think about this text, I think of John Mark, who messed up. And Lord, then at the end, Paul said, "Take him because he's profitable." Yes, he did mess up, but he's gotten things right and he's working for you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our ladies are going to begin to play page 292. I'd like to ask if we could at this time, if you're physically able, would you come down to this old-fashioned altar and we'll have a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of consecration.